Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's show. I'm so excited that you could join us. Those of you who are watching live, thank you for tuning in. And if you're watching the replay, thank you so much. I just want to encourage you that if you have a question or a comment during this time, please feel free to put it in the comment section down below, and we'll pull them up as we get a moment here. But I'm really excited that you're joining me today because I have a special guest that I want to introduce you to that if you've never met Kim, you'll be delighted to meet her and to get to know her. And I'm sure you're going to want to follow her after this for sure. So as you know, this show is all about really helping women to be empowered and equipped to be who God has called you to be, to use your voice to be a powerful and positive influence wherever God has called you to be, wherever that, whatever that means, but to really tap into the core mission of how God wants you to use your voice to really bring about shifts in your world, to bring about change, to bring about solutions, whatever that means for you in your world. So I just want to encourage you that if you've got a stirring in your heart, to pay attention to that stirring. And there's all kinds of things that come against us to try and keep us from using our voice. And we want to use wisdom for sure, but you need to pay attention to that and really ask God for wisdom. So I often feature women on this show who are using their voice and who have been training others to use their voice, really, and especially women who are just getting out there and influencing their world in whatever way God calls them to do, and learning how to do that well, and learning how to do that so that we are aligned to really the purposes of heaven. Because there are a lot of voices out there, and it's confusing. So before we get into all of that, I want to introduce you to Dr. Kim Moss. Maybe 4 years ago. She was a speaker at a women's conference that I was involved with. And a few times she's come back and she's prophesied over me. She's brought messages that are life-changing. And I know she carries a heart for women to walk in freedom and wholeness. That's one of her passions, I know for sure. But Kim is an international speaker. She's spoken all over the world, Brazil, all over the world. Can't even name all the countries, probably. And then she's also an author. She has written several books, which we'll talk a little bit about today. But one is on, I think it's called Return to Ziklag, which is how to turn your crisis into crowns, which is very appropriate right now. And then one about four questions, which is when you spoke the first time you spoke. I think you shared that it was kind of in the preliminary stages of that. Four questions, how to move forward, a strategy for moving forward. Again, really appropriate for today, Kim. And then the other ones are the community. So, and Kim has a doctorate in ministry. And so she comes with not only personal experiences, but educational and spiritual experiences as well. And so glad to have you, Kim. Welcome.
Thank you. It's so good to be here. I'm so glad that you asked me. Thank you so much, because I love you. I love your church and I love your country.
Awesome. Thank
really
you.
Good to be here.
Yes, I know you have a heart for Canada. Mm-hmm. So, Kim, before we get into any of the topic about voice and about women and all that, I'd love it if you would share part of your story, because I want to preface it with this. One of the scriptures that God really laid on my heart a number of months back was in Psalm 68, verse 29. And in the Passion Translation, it says it this way. It says, God, your miracles have made us who we are. Do it again. I just love that.
That's great.
Because every one of us has had a miracle if we've come into a place of faith. I mean, we've all had miracles. The fact that we're on the earth, that we're born, is a miracle in today's age. And so, but you can talk about lots of miracles that you've seen and that have flowed through you. But I want to tap into right now the miracle of you coming into a place of faith. What was life like before you knew God? And then how did all that happen?
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for asking. I love that. I've never seen that particular verse written like that. I have the Passion Translation, of course, but that's beautiful. And it's really very, very true. You know, when you encounter the Lord, it changes your life, right? Mm-hmm. And this is one of the reasons it's so very important that we hear the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God changes everything. Mm-hmm. And it changed everything for me. And so I'm passionate about that very thing. I actually grew up in a family that was sort of, how do you say, like we went to church, but we went more occasionally. So we were nominal Christians. That's mm-hmm. the word. We definitely believed in Jesus. And I came from a nice family, and my parents were very good parents and all of that kind of thing. But when we went to church, we went on occasion because my parents worked a lot, and they needed to supply us with the things that we needed to survive in our household. And so I did grow up knowing Jesus. And when I was 13, I was saved. I was at a Baptist youth revival meeting, and I went down front, you know, and I was sobbing my eyes out, and we had went to the altar and bowed down at the altar and accepted Christ into my life. And it was a very powerful experience for me, but I didn't meet the Holy Spirit at that time. And so soon after that, I fell away from the Lord, and I stopped walking with him. And I had never read my Bible all the way through or any of that. And so I went through my teen years, fairly rebelliously, mm-hmm. and experimenting with a lot of things. And when I was about 20 years old, I think I was about 20. I'd gone through a series of very difficult things as an older teenager. And then I met my husband, and we got married. So my husband and I were, neither of us were following the Lord. My husband was not a Christian. And my husband was a drug addict and alcoholic. And I didn't know it. Mm-hmm. When we met, we were a blind date, and I got pregnant, and we got married. It sort of happened just like that. And we were married like 10 months after the day that we met. So it was very fast. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't really recognized the signs of something wrong. Mm-hmm. So we got married, and as soon as we were married, then I started seeing things that I didn't like, and it was a very hard time. And I had my first baby, and she was just beautiful. And I was working full time. I was a nurse at that time. I was working in pediatrics and labor and delivery. And I was working full time. My husband was working, but we weren't getting along well. It was really, really tough. So for 3 years that went on. And sometime in the third year, I just couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't cry anymore. I couldn't yell and scream anymore. I couldn't beg anymore. It's really, really tough. My husband was, he smoked weed like all day long, and he would drink until he couldn't remember who he'd been with or where he left his car on the weekend. And you know, there was a lot of cocaine and all those kinds of things. So we're talking really, it wasn't like a small thing. This was a big deal. And I felt like a single parent, and I tried to make things different, and they just weren't changing. About 3 years later, I just felt like I couldn't do it anymore. And I remember in that moment, I remember saying to the Lord, and I was not following the Lord, but I knew that God was real, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember just saying to the Lord one day, I can't do this anymore. And I know, see, my parents were divorced and remarried. So I was adopted by my dad, and they were treated a little differently in the church because they were divorced people. And of course, this is many, many years ago, and I don't see a lot of that in the church now, but they were at that time. And so I had this thinking that if I divorced, that I was like, this was like practically the worst thing that you could do. And I wasn't walking with the Lord already. So I felt like, I felt like if I left and filed for divorce, and I already wasn't walking with the Lord, and all the other things that I'd done, gotten pregnant before I was married and married someone who was not a Christian, you know, all of those things that that was it. It was like, I just felt like I was sort of ending any possibility of mm-hmm. me having a relationship with the Lord in the future. And so now I have two little girls, and I filed for divorce and I moved away. And I was dating, I was working, I had to work two jobs because he had lost his job. And so he didn't have any money to send me. And it was just a very, very difficult and dark mm-hmm. in my life. Wow. And I was in my early 20s. I think I was only 24 years old, 23, 24 years old. Hmm. And so anyway, I moved away. And I tried to move a few hours away from him because I needed to get away. And I was looking for a new job. And when I went in for the interview, the girl who was leaving, she interviewed me for her own position. It was like a doctor's office type of thing. Mm-hmm. When she interviewed me, it turns out that her and her husband were leaving the job because she was going to plant a church. And they were going to plant a vineyard church. Ah. I need to understand, I didn't know what a vineyard, what that meant. I had no idea what it meant to have a vineyard church. I'd been raised Southern Baptist, and that's all I ever knew. I didn't know anything about charismatic churches. I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit, except for that he made it possible for you to receive Jesus. That's all I ever knew. Yeah. But I was curious because all the people in the office would tell me that that this woman, when she came into work every day, the atmosphere of the place changed.
Wow.
You know, they recognized that there was something different about her. And so I was really curious. And so when she interviewed me, she asked me why I wanted to have the job. And I told her that I was a single mom in the middle of a divorce. So she invited me to come over to her house.
Hmm.
Went over to her house. And I just got to tell you, this woman was so kind. And I didn't really expect it. I sort of threw up all over her and told her every ugly thing, all that ugly. My life was such a mess. I was a complete wreck. I was a young woman with two little tiny baby girls. You know, they were 3 and 1, and I was completely lost. I'm working my butt off, you know, but I was unhappy, and I'm, you know, dating another man who's not a nice, you know, and no, it was just bad. And, anyway, I told her every ugly detail. I told her every ugly detail, and I was shocked because she didn't condemn me, and she didn't criticize me. Yeah. She didn't throw Bible scriptures at me, tell me what a sinner I was. I'm going to hell if I don't change my way. None of that. She didn't do any of that. She just was kind.
Wow.
And that kindness started to soften my heart. And then she invited me to come to her church, be a part of their new church. I was thinking, okay, that is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. I am like the biggest sinner in the world, and you're inviting me to be a part of your church. Mm-hmm. And I went for about 2 Sundays, and I even went early, helped them set up chairs. You know, it was church plants. It was in the like a gymnasium, you know, of a high school.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, you know, of course we say that, right? We don't know why, but you know, the Lord is doing something in your life, even though, and I think that's really important. I feel the Holy Spirit on that right now. I just want to say to anyone who's going to listen to this, who's listening now or who will listen, I just want to say to you that sometimes we feel really far from the Lord, and we are, you know, we feel like we've walked completely away, but he never walks away from us, you know? He never walks away from us. And during this time, I was not pursuing the Lord and running hard after him. My goodness, I wasn't even reading my Bible or anything. And he arranged that I meet this woman. He arranged that she would minister to me. He arranged that I would be a part of their church in this dark, ugly time when I really felt like I had so walked away from the Lord that he would never pursue me. Like, he, you know, you have that feeling like, oh, he's glad he's rid of you because you're just a sinner, you know, you're just dirty. I felt really dirty and ugly, you know, and just really, I just felt like such a sinner. And so we went to and going to the church a couple times in a row. I don't remember anything about what it was like, but I remember that at some point I was like, I should get a Bible and maybe I should read my Bible. So I went and I bought myself a Bible. I hadn't read the Bible in probably since I was 14. And now I'm like 24 years old. And my husband and I had been separated for 6 months and our divorce was nearly final. And I sat down in my apartment. I was in an apartment. My little girls were asleep in the back room. And I opened up my Bible. And when I opened up my Bible, I heard the audible voice of God.
Mm.
Wow, I feel so emotional all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And he just said one thing to me. He just said, if you'll go home, I'll take care of everything.
Mm.
And I was so shocked. I didn't know God could speak. I didn't know that he could speak. I didn't know that he would speak. I knew from my childhood years that he spoke through scripture. You know that if you read the scripture, this is God's word, this is how he speaks to you. I didn't know that he would personally.
Mm.
I didn't have any idea that he, you know, really loves us so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
In our dark times and in our times, even when we are so rebellious and doing everything wrong, that he would visit me.
Mm-hmm.
But he really does love us. So he said that to me and I was shocked. And when I got over my shock, then I was really mad. Mm-hmm. I just woke up and I'm, you know, stomping around my room and I'm going, do you even understand what you're saying to me? Do you have any idea what that was like for me? Do you know he hasn't changed? Do you know what you're asking of me?
Yeah.
And he didn't say another word. You know, he's really smart. He's not going to argue with you. Like, I just knew that when he didn't say anything else, I just knew that I had to make the decision. You know, I was either going to follow him now or I was going to do my own thing. And I had this knowing, I can't explain it. It was the Holy Spirit, you know, but I didn't know it at the time. Yeah. But I had this knowing deep down in my heart that if I didn't obey him, I would walk away and I would live without him and do my rest of my life.
I love what you said there because it's so true. Like oftentimes we have this perception of God, whether we have been brought up in a Christian home or not, who he is, and he's so that we mess up and he's just going to turn his back on us. It's like this image of him, which is so different than who he really is.
Right? Punish. Yeah. You know?
Exactly.
Like, yeah. Like, oh, you got a black mark now, you know, oops. And I tripped on something. internet.
Exactly.
Sorry about that. I don't know where we get that. I don't know if it's probably a religious spirit in a church,
ooh,
you know, that would say if you break the rules, it's over for you,
yes. You
know, and there's no, you're not allowed to make a mistake. You know, you're not allowed to make a mistake. And there, you know, and I want to be careful here because the Lord does ask us that when we hear his voice to obey him, we do need to be obedient, right?
Yeah.
And we do need to allow him to cleanse our hearts and sanctify our lives, make us holy.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And once we become believers and as we grow and mature in the Lord, we need to make decisions in line with his will more and more and more. Because he says, if you love me, mm-hmm. you will keep my commandments, which means if you love me, you will obey me the things that I have asked of you, right? And there'll be a delight to do that because he gives us those commands to keep us on the narrow road that will be good for us, right? That will keep us in the center of his will for our lives, that will keep us moving forward in accomplishing the things he has for us to accomplish, to come fully into the things that we are called into, and to achieve the mission, to fulfill the mission and the thing that we were created to do, the purpose, right?
Yeah.
And so that's very true. However, we do have this thinking that if we blow it, we're in trouble. You know, we're going to be smashed. And there is a discipline of the Lord. God talks about it, you know, and when we, yes. We will experience consequences, yes. you know, from our own sin, our own choices. And I was experiencing those things, you know, mm-hmm. but we forget, I think, you know, we forget
yeah.
how merciful
yeah.
God is yeah. and kind. He's so kind.
Yeah.
And he understands, you know, he understands that there are things that happen in our lives, even from the time that we were born, right? Trauma and events and circumstances that wound our hearts
mm-hmm.
and shatter our wholeness, right? Mm-hmm. Broken, that sometimes drives our decisions. Sometimes we rebel not because we just don't like God, but because we're broken and we're wounded and we don't even know how wounded, right, and broken that we are. And God knows that, and he's kind, and he's patient with us. And so in this dark, ugly time in my life, when I was completely, you know, talk about a prodigal, just mm. away, you know, and yeah. doing my own thing, and wounded and angry and just so hurt and broken, he pursued me.
Yeah.
When do we hear about that? That in yeah. my rebellion, wow, it's so moving to me.
Yes, it yeah. is. And that's the
my rebellion. He pursued me because he wanted me.
He's a lover. He's a lover. You know, just going back to what you were saying earlier in terms of the perception, and I know for me, the perception of when I first came into an understanding of who God was, my perception of my father got transferred to God. And yeah. I think that happens a lot in terms of our experience, if it's been traumatic or negative. Right. And I know at that moment, I knew I needed him, God, but I didn't trust him. But even in that, he knew that, and he just began to build that trust. But sometimes we have those blocks, like you said, not because we're bad or evil,
right?
We have, you know, tendencies that we need God to change in us. But we are broken. We're just broken, and we don't know. And that's why it's so important that we hear the voice of God, or we know with the truth, like you right. were talking about. You know, this and this whole area of perfection, sometimes we get caught up in. I did this study of, I'm actually writing another book, and I did this study on perfect, you know, how we think be perfect even as your Father is in heaven is perfect. And I think we have a wrong understanding of what that means.
Distorted.
Yeah, it's distorted. And because of that, we think we need to get everything right and do everything right, and it has to be this. When it does, that's not what that means. And there's various scriptures that where some of our translations use that word perfect, but it actually means complete or holy.
Right. Wholeness.
Or, yes, holiness.
That's
and
right.
It's a state of being. It's a righteousness. And so it's distortion of that understanding. But let's shift. I want to shift gears. Thank you so much for sharing that powerful. I love hearing your story. And the first time I heard it, I think it's for those who are listening, just really, there's a lot of pieces in there that people need to hear because of the kindness of God and because of the love that God has for his people, that no matter where we are. But I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about, because now, since you've been, I know you've been in ministry for many years, and that you are an itinerant minister now, and have received a doctorate, and you have a passion for this whole area of prophetic community and raising up people to really hear the voice of God, be the voice of God. And so talk to me a little bit about what that means in terms of a prophetic community and cultivating the essence of the hearing the voice of God and why that's important.
Well, in the church right now, you know, what my passion is that the church would recover its prophethood. So we know that the church has the priesthood, is the priesthood of all believers. And this is true. Mm-hmm. But even in the Old Testament, the priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, they were anointed with the Holy Spirit, right? And in the Old Testament, kings and priests and prophets all had the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So they had the Holy Spirit come upon them, and then they would hear God's voice and they would know what he is saying and they would know direction and these kinds of things. And the priesthood, as well as the prophets and the kings, would prophesy, heal, do divine healing and all these various things. And so Jesus, of course, is prophet, priest, and king. And he has now raised up a church. And when he raised up the church, he also, when he did his work on the cross, you know, he came, he died for us, and then he rose again. And after his ascension, he poured out the Holy Spirit. When he poured out the Holy Spirit on all flesh, according to Joel 2:28, it means that all of us who are believers, all of us who follow Jesus, are considered the church. And the church is anointed with the Holy Spirit. We all are anointed with the Holy Spirit. We are a royal priesthood. We also are royalty, but we also have a prophethood in which to embrace and to function in. What that means is that when you receive the Holy Spirit, you have received the gift of prophecy. Prophecy is very important. It's not just an add-on to your faith, because prophecy involves hearing the voice of God and then bringing what God is saying to those around you. We all have been given the gift of prophecy. We all can prophesy, and hearing the voice of God changes lives. Why? Yeah. Because if you're with somebody and they're going through something and you hear from God about their situation, or you hear from God for direction, or you hear from God just about how much he loves them, listen, it brings what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 14:3, encouragement, which is not just a nice thing. So think about encouragement sometimes as like, oh, you're so nice, and I say a nice word. Petting. This is petting, you know.
Right. Oh, you know.
But encouragement really is about instilling courage.
Yes.
Someone to keep moving forward, to endure in their circumstances, and to move on to fulfill the purpose for which they are created. So
that's so good.
So encouragement is a really strong word, and it's a really important word. So we are to prophesy, to encourage, but also to build up, edify, it says. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Okay, well, building someone up is not just saying, oh, you're so beautiful, oh, you're so, you know, so that they have self-confidence.
Right.
Building someone else, bringing edification, is to build their God confidence. So Hebrews tells us that, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, right?
I love that.
About self-confidence, like, I just think so highly of myself that I, you know, I'm going to pull myself up by the bootstraps and I'm going to do this. No, it's not about that. It's really about understanding who our God is, how big he is, how great and magnificent he is, and what he is capable of doing in and through us. And then it's also confidence in what he has said to you about you and what he's going to do through you, through your life. And so when you build someone up, what you are doing is you are saying to them, listen, remember who you are and remember who your God is, and now go do the thing, because you are responsible to do that, and you are able because your God is able, right? So building them up so they can do the work that God has given them to do. And we are all called to do good works.
Right.
Scripture says, you know, that we have been given good works to do even beforehand, that we are this magnificent creation of God, and we've been given good works to do that he has planned for us from beforehand. And those good works actually are miraculous works. They're not just ethical, nice things that we do for other people. They're actually healing and casting out demons and raising the dead and prophesying. Okay. And then Paul says, so prophecy encourages and edifies, and it comforts people. You know, Listen, right now I've been doing over the internet an awakening series, you know, morning by morning, God wakened my ear. You know, he wakens my ear as one who is taught. And but the scripture just
begins.
Really important right now, because this is what God, August is a month of transition to awaken. This is really the time to awaken and to shake off the lethargy and the despair and the, you know, we just sort of, we're sort of settled into our, to this COVID thing and, you know, at home, and we can't, and it's like, no. See, we still have work to do, and it's time to awaken, because God wants to awaken us to our task. But comfort, people need comfort, you know, and it says in that, just before that passage of scripture in Isaiah that you have about awakening, you know, that he awakens our ears so that we can comfort others. You know what I mean? Because when people go through terrible circumstances, they need to be comforted. When they are comforted, they know, I'm going to get through this. Mm-hmm. It's not always going to be like this. I'm going to live to see another day. And, you know, and then, and also comfort also involves knowing that you're secure, right? We're secure in Jesus. And so getting back that feeling of security and stability, even when nothing is stable around you, we are stable when we are found in Jesus Christ, the rock, right?
Yes.
And so that's why prophecy is so important. A prophetic community, really, it really, what that means is that is part of our identity as the body of Christ, as we find in Acts chapter 2, Peter's landmark sermon. And this is what I wrote my whole dissertation on. So my book, Prophetic Community, is all about that if you want to know more about it. But the prophetic community is the church who has embraced her prophethood, and all of us can prophesy to encourage, edify, and comfort one another.
Beautiful. I love that. I love that so much, because that is not that's not a message that's commonly taught.
No.
You know, and I think that's where there's been a separation in terms of the and of course there's people who are called what we call the office of the prophet as opposed to the prophetic community. There's a distinction.
So that's different, right? The gift of prophecy everyone has. You know, Paul said, all may prophesy in 1 Corinthians 14:31. Mm-hmm. But the prophet in Ephesians 4:11, prophet, that's a calling.
Yeah.
So they have the gift of prophecy, but they have other gifts of will, but it's their calling as a prophet. So they function as a prophet in more of a leadership capacity, and it involves much more than just the gift of prophecy, though the gift of prophecy is a magnificent gift and we all have it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. No, that's beautiful. I love that. So I'm just thinking about, in our day and age, there's so many voices and so much chaos swirling around. And there's, you know, for people to really kind of keep their footing and to know what is my place and what is my positioning in this time. And I'm just thinking specifically, because my heart is for women, particularly for women, to really know who they are in God, but also in the whole area of the voice. Like, I think it's really ironic, and is that this is the decade of the voice.
Right.
Yeah. This is the decade of the voice, and we start off being shut down and shut up and shut in.
That's right.
It's like, okay, what's going on? I know. So talk to me about that. What is your take on that?
Wow, that's a big question. You just asked me about several things all at once.
Okay. You can pick it apart. Oh. You can start where you want.
Yes. God is resetting everything. Right now, we are in a great transition because we are on the precipice, and I believe this is the beginnings of a great move of God. Mm-hmm. And right now, what's happening is that we are being visited by God, and I'm not saying judged and punished and all of that, though I think that there is some discipline that's probably happening. But God is visiting us to reveal, really uncover and reveal where we have, when I say we, I'm talking about the church in general. You know, are there places where we have compromised culture? Are there places where we have become more nationalistic in our faith than we have become, than we are biblical in our faith?
Interesting. Right? Yeah.
In many places in the world where Christians and the church is under great persecution, they are more biblically Christian than they are nationally Christian. So for me, now I'm American and you are a Canadian. So what I would be asking myself is, and what I have been asking myself since the beginning of this year is where am I more American Christian than I am biblical Christian?
This is really interesting. And that can also play into cultural as well.
Well, and that's exactly what I mean by that. Where do I live out my Christianity more in line with my culture than I do in line with scripture?
Right.
And kingdom thinking, kingdom. And that is something that we need to look at. It's also where have we compromised in our lives, with cultural things that are idolatrous, that are unholy, that are, and all of these things. God is giving us an opportunity to see that right now and come out of alignment and out of agreement with those things. He's allowing us an opportunity right now to invite the Holy Spirit in and say, Holy Spirit, come and search me and try me and see if there's any wicked way in me, and then come out of alignment with that and come into a more holy place. And that's because this move of God is going to be is going to be in large part a holiness movement. We're going to see holiness preachers rise up and holiness messages rise up, and we're going to be called on our holiness, which has a lot to do with wholeness.
Yes.
In generations before, holiness became a bunch of external rules, right? And it became very legalistic and very religious. Mm-hmm. And you were punished and severely persecuted, by discipleship models if you made a mistake. And it's going to be different this time, but it's going to be very serious and sobering, because God is very serious and sobering about it. He's all about the holiness right now. And so it's a good time to allow him to reset us and understand. But when it comes to the time of the mouth, prophecy is going to become very, very important. And you can even see in this very confusing time, everybody and their dog is a prophet right now, or thinks they are right now. And they get online and they start prophesying, and I had this dream and I had this word and I have this. And it's a lot of noise. And I have to say, I just feel like the Lord has been saying, he's been giving me verse 19, where Elijah, the prophet, is having he's in a war with Jezebel. And I think that the church is in a war with Jezebel right now. I think in our nations, I think we're in a war with Jezebel, no doubt about it. And I'm writing a new message about it right now. But in this war with Jezebel that he is having, it says that he runs away from Jezebel, right? Because his life is threatened. And he runs to Mount Horeb. And on that, in that place, Mount Horeb, he meets with God. And it says, that there was an earthquake and there was a fire and there was, right? It's just noise and calamity and stuff. And it says, but God wasn't in it. Where was God? Mm. Still small voice. Mm. Because God is wanting to teach us now to get in that secret place and to hear his voice. And those who've heard his voice, they will have the word to direct them in this time. Elijah was a prophet and he was going to prophesy, but even Elijah wasn't sure where all of this was going in his time. He had to get with the Lord in a special way to hear the voice of the Lord in a time of great crisis for his nation, right? We're in that sort of similar place. And so before we speak, we need to think about what we're saying. When we are in the time of the voice, it's not just about using our voice, but it's about God, allowing God to cleanse our heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Cleanse our hearts so that what comes out of our mouth will be full of faith and full of the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Because words have great power. It also means that for some of us, I feel like the Lord has said to me that, faith is connected to hope, right? Because Hebrews 11 says, now the substance Now, the substance of faith is things hoped for. What is it? The substance of faith. Things hoped for. The evidence of things not yet seen. Thank you. I was having a senior moment. Yeah. And so hope and faith are linked. When we hope for something, when we have a hope for something, we also have the faith to watch for it to come to pass, even if we don't see it yet. Prophetically, we are supposed to be declaring things that are not as though they are. Calling things into existence that don't exist right now, right? In order to do that, we have to have faith. Mm-hmm. In order to faithfully do that, we have to have hope. And I just feel like there are so many in the body of Christ who have lost their hope, lost their job. They've lost family members. They've seen all of this. They're so afraid, right? And so they feel hopeless in so many ways. And I keep hearing the Lord say, I'm going to come and do mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. In the decade of the mouth, I'm going to come with mouth-to-mouth resuscitation for those who are hopeless. Because, you know, the Bible also says that hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Yes. Right?
And so he's going to come give us mouth-to-mouth resuscitation over our hope by bringing some things to pass that we were not sure were going to ever come to pass. You know, we will have great faith so that by faith we can call those things that are not as though they are. And we can speak faithfully and powerfully and miraculously in agreement with what he says, which is the only way we have power anyway, and see things come into existence. So that's some of the what I'm seeing for that. I want to just mention right now, because I know that we're 11:11. That's so funny. one of my favorite Canadian leaders is Doug Schneider, and he's a good friend of mine. And he just recently, I think it was yesterday, he sent me 11:11, and he said, we're in transition. And I knew it was a word, not just for the body of Christ, but for Canada. You guys are in a transition, like you're in the narrow place right now, but you're going to come through it and revival is coming. And so I love
to receive it.
Yeah, absolutely going to happen. Absolutely going to happen. God has it planned, and has a plan for Canada that is so great. And he's going to raise up great prophets from your nation and more apostolic leaders.
Do you want to share anything more on that? Or are you good?
That's all I know. I don't have lots of. I'm just expecting to see it any moment.
Yes.
So I'm excited about all of that for you guys. Mm-hmm. But in this time for women, I want to talk for women for a minute. So God has been saying to me over the last 4 years that there will be a move of God coming. And within that move of God, there will be another move of God within the move. And that's a move among women. And that God was going to raise up women leaders in unprecedented numbers. And he was going to raise up women to do the works of the kingdom like never before. And he said Psalm 68. So you already mentioned Psalm 68, but Psalm 68:11 that says... says the Lord gave the word and great was the company who proclaimed it. Well, here we have also a pay word, right? Proclamation has to do with what comes out of your mouth. Interestingly enough, in the Hebrew, that word for great company, it's actually feminine. It actually means a great company of women. So God is about to release an important word. Great will be the company of women who proclaim what God is saying and therefore doing. Because whatever God says, he does. Isaiah says, I believe it's Isaiah 55. I might be wrong on that. But Isaiah says that whatever word the Lord releases, it never returns void, but it always goes out and accomplishes whatever he sent it out to do. And, you know, in Hebrews, it says that Jesus upholds the entire universe by the power of his word. When God is going to do something, he speaks it into existence. He created the whole world that way.
Yeah.
So when he releases a word, he's releasing his power and his creation, the power to create, and he does something. So when we proclaim his word, we are doing exactly that. We are joining God in his work. And so God is raising up women in a great company to do his work on the earth, and they will proclaim the word of God, and they will join him in his work in this hour. And so it is time for women to begin to really understand who they are. And if you have questions about whether the Bible says that we can do ministry, that we can be preachers, that we can be proclaimers, that we can be healers, that we can do, you know, we can do things in ministry, and whether we are in the world as a CEO, you know, or as an author, or as a nurse, or as a teacher, or as a mom, you know, a mom, because that's important too. And those are all callings. Yeah. And it can be combined in many different ways. Or if he's raising you up in the church, you know, as, you know, you could be an evangelist and have a day job. Do you know what I mean? And be an evangelist. Or if he's raising you up to full-time ministry, vocational ministry in the church as a pastor, as a teacher, as an apostolic leader, as a prophet, you can do any of these things that God has called you, and he will gift you to do that. And I would urge you to get your theology settled. What I mean by theology is that what you believe that the Bible and God has said about women in ministry, and in particularly in leadership positions. I could tell you all about that. It would take way too long, but I want you to tell you this part about it, is that I can't settle it for you. You have to settle it in your heart. You have to do the research. And then you have to make a decision where you're going to stand theologically and biblically on this. Once you settle it in your heart, God will move you quickly into those places. But if you question whether you can even do it, whether it's even okay, and maybe I'm unsubmitted or a rebellious woman if I do that, then he can't really move you into some of those places. Because once he moves you into the places that he has for us in this time, listen, we're going to have to be bold. We can't be questioning. Sure, we have to be bold. We got to be on it. We have to be aggressive. And I've never liked that word, but God keeps saying to me, aggressive, you know, because we live in times where we cannot shrink back anymore. We can't be wishy-washy and, well, you know, and we can't be waiting. Well, you know, I need to be given permission. And then our pastors and the men around us and the other leaders say, well, you have permission, but you know, they're not going to take your hand and say, okay, now say this, now do this, now, you know, no, they're going to give you permission. And then it's up to you to be bold enough to step in and do the thing.
Yeah. That's really good. I love it. You know, that same passage you're talking about, Psalm 68, verse 11, in the Passion Translation says, the warring women of Zion, which talks about that aspect of there's courage, there's intentionality, there's an assurance of what you're called to do and to step into that. And I love what you just said there. It's really important to settle that issue, because from a biblical perspective, if you look and study the scriptures, it was always men and women walking together. It was always men and women. We are the image, we're made in the image of God. We're given the mandate together. We are called together. And I believe that's why there's been such a assault, because the enemy knows that when we walk together, when women rise up to take their place in terms of walking together, that is the fullness of God displayed on the earth. And so we need to see that as just the weapon that God is raising up in this hour, because he knows that, you know, in order to accomplish the work, we need all hands on deck.
Yeah, and there's lots of great books that are coming out about it. And the reason they're coming out, see, it's a sign to us. Because when you have a whole wave of new books coming out about this very topic from male leaders, you know, right? Because I can write a book about this and it's really good, but many women feel like they don't feel released just because another woman told them. You know, they look at women leaders as models and all of that, but when they're thinking about, is this really okay? For some reason, they feel like they need to hear the male voice say, yes, we agree that this is all correct, you know? And so, you know, there's a book by Dave Hess coming out called Side by Side, Women and Men in Leading Together. There's a book by my friend
Larry Sparks. You know?
Yes, Chris Volatin has one.
Lee Grady has a few.
Grady has one, 10 things the church tells women, 10 lies the church tells women. Yes, there's one called The Other Side of the Army. You can get it at Global Awakenings Bookstore. And a friend of mine wrote that. There's lots. Mm-hmm. There's lots of books you can go to where you can get the theology that you need and see what is being said about those scriptures that make us feel like maybe we're not allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm. No, so that's really good.
Those if they need that.
That's really good. Thank you for sharing that, because that is so true, is that sometimes it's just the where it comes from, for whatever reason, needs to be the validation that it's okay, that the permission. Ultimately, God gives you permission, but we sometimes need people on the earth to say, we're totally behind you. We're totally supportive of you. And this is so good. Thank you so much, Kim. Is there anything, one thing I wanted to say, you talked a little bit about it, and I tapped into it when you started in August, this 31-day August Awakening Challenge. I love that. And I downloaded my copy here, my Awakening. It is, it's interesting, today is all about, you know, the hope, that scripture you talk about, the hope deferred and is declaring. And this, I want to just say to the listeners, this is something you want to tap into. Go to kimmaas.com. Mm-hmm. That's two A's. You can see her name there, M-A-A-S, kimmaas.com, and sign up for this and download this Awakening, because each day is a declaration and a prayer and a scripture. And tell me a little bit more or share with everyone a little bit more about, you mentioned it briefly, but is there anything else that you want to say about this project that you've started, or why you decided to do this challenge?
I decided to do the challenge because I felt this thing in the atmosphere come down that was like a wet blanket. And I felt like we had moved from anger and fear into a lethargy and a resignation. You know, sometimes when you go through something for so long, you just become resigned to it. And you just say, well, this is just the way it is. And there's this, like, you don't even recognize anymore that you have become depressed. You just sort of live with this low level, like, sort of depression. And you don't look to, you just don't look to move forward anymore. You just sort of go, well, okay, I guess it's just going to be like this until it's like that. You just become resigned. And the lethargy, like, that we are falling asleep on the job, and right now things are heating up in the atmosphere, in the war that the enemy has brought against our nations, against the church, against the revival that is here, you know. And I'm writing a new book right now. It'll be out next year. And it's about the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent. And what is happening, see, is that there's always a pattern. You find it throughout scripture, started in the garden, and it continues through Revelation, that every time when God begins to move, the enemy counters. And he counters hard, and he counters violently. Mm-hmm. He does not want God's agenda, and he doesn't want the church to rise up, right? He doesn't want any of this. And so we always have the darkness on the earth. We're always in a cosmic war. All of this is very true. But in times when God is bringing a revival. And so, see, really what's going on with all the COVID and all the, you know, the geopolitical clashes, nations, and, you know, in my country, you see all the unrest. I mean, there's all kinds of protesting and unrest, and God is putting his finger on the racist issue. He wants to deal with that. But see, the enemy, as soon as God does that, see what has happened? The enemy comes and stirs it up into something else. Yeah. And it brings more division than it does unity over the issue. Right. And so these are supposed to be signs to us as believers. We're supposed to understand how God moves. And so what's happening is that God has begun to move in this revival that we've all seen coming. Mm-hmm. And the enemy has just thrown a fit. And there's a counter move, a violent counter move of the enemy trying to get us to resign ourselves, go hide, take, you know, we used to say in our family, like, take your ball and go home, you know? He wants to sit down, shut up, roll over, and go back to sleep. He does not want the church to awaken. And I felt like the Lord said, now, right now, in this eighth month, we have the opportunity to wake up if we will begin to use our mouth in the year of the mouth to make a declaration. See, when we declare something, as we said before, there's power of life and death in the tongue. What I'm saying every day, what I'm saying every day has an effect on the atmosphere in my home, on my body, on me, on those who are within hearing, and even those who are not within hearing, because see, when you release a word, it goes in the atmosphere and it continues, right? And it affects things more than you know.
Exactly.
And so I felt like God said, I want them to begin to declare that they are, just declare. And he gave me that scripture, morning by morning, he awakens me. I'm coming to awaken my church, God says.
That's good.
I want you to declare it because I've said it. And when we agree with God's word, there's even more power. So I wanted to do a 31-day challenge that we would awaken. Yeah. And the reason I asked everybody, and if you go on my Instagram, Kim Moss Ministries, or if you go on my Facebook, Kim Moss Ministries, you can find the original explanation and the video. And you can download the whole thing from my website, my store, and it's free. And if you do it right now in this month, you also get the free booklet, The Power of Words, where it's part of my prophetic training that I take all over the world. Mm-hmm. See what I mean when I say the power of words, you get the whole teaching for free, for free, because it's so important to wake up right now. But I asked everyone if they would get up a little earlier in the morning. Because he says, morning by morning, he wakens my ear. Why is that important? I'm telling you, because see, you want to start your day shifting the tone of your day.
Yeah.
You're going to wake up and be awake throughout the whole day. You want to wake up a little more in the morning. You want to make a declaration that releases the power of God over your entire day. You don't want to wait until you wake up lethargic and you continue in that lethargy. And then before you go to bed, before you go back to sleep at night, you're making a declaration. I don't care when you make it during the day, make the declaration. I'm just saying that if you will wake up a little bit earlier, and I'm talking 10 minutes, get up 10 minutes earlier and start your day with the declaration, you are shifting your whole day.
That's so good. That's so good. Why don't we end off by you sharing today's declaration and praying this over our listeners? While she's getting that, I just want to say, when we talk about the words affecting the atmosphere, we have no problem understanding that the internet frequencies, all the waves that go out into the air, that they go all over the place, that we can tap into them when putting on our computer or phones. The same thing is with the frequency of heaven. And the words have power. They tap into a realm that we're probably not familiar with if we don't understand the spiritual realm that way, but it's laws of heaven as well. God designed it this way. And so we want to tap into the frequency of heaven with our words so that they sync with what's going on. And that's what happens when we speak the voice of God. So go ahead, Kim.
All right. Are you ready? Everybody all together. This is August 7th.
Yes.
I declare and decree, the Lord is awakening my hope.
The Lord is awakening my hope.
I refuse and rebuke.
I refuse and rebuke.
And come out of agreement.
And come out of agreement.
With hopelessness, despair, and discouragement.
With hopelessness, despair, and discouragement.
The Bible says.
The Bible says.
Hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Hope deferred makes the heart sick.
But a desire fulfilled is a tree of life.
But a desire fulfilled is a tree of life.
Father.
Father.
Heal my heart and give me back desire.
Lord, heal my heart and give me back desire.
For all that you have for my life.
For all that you have for my life.
For all that you have for my family.
For all that you have for my family.
For all that you have for my church.
For all that you have for my church.
And for all that you have for my nation.
And for all that you have for my nation.
Awaken my hope in Jesus' name.
Awaken my hope in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. I love that. So go to kimmoss.com. Make sure you download that. to begin to just stir, to strengthen yourself in the Lord every day and stir yourself up with the word and the declaration. And I guarantee you're gonna experience a shift, not only in your energy, in your whole mood, in your whole perspective. Everything is going to shift as you do that every day. I love this. Thank you so much, Kim. What a joy to have you. Thank you for just the rich deposits that you made today in the words that you spoke. So I just want to thank everyone for tuning in today, and be sure and share this. Share this with your friends. Share this with people you know that need to hear this, and do the work. Like Kim said, she challenged you to go and search out the scriptures for your own to make sure that you understand, but also to come into that place where you have a knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that who you are in God, so that then you can run hard after whatever he speaks to you. So bless everyone. See you next week. Bye, Kim.
Bye.